steaks and some of the best andouille outside of New Orleans. The shop is open Tuesday through Saturday at 4828 Parker Avenue in South City.
You can't beat G&W Meat.
The Village Bar is open Monday through Sunday, noon to 8 p.m. for curbside pickup, and the dining room is now open. Get a couple burgers for yourself, or their quart-sized chili is perfect to feed the entire family. Located at 12247 Manchester Road in De Pere. To order, call 314-821-4532.
We all have a lot of things we're going to do one day. One day I'll change my career. One day I'll get my bachelor's degree. Well, today is the day to be brave. Because Maryville University offers more than 30 degrees online, including bachelor's degrees, with no entrance exams and no application fees. We've been empowering students for nearly 150 years, so we know there's no time like the present to focus on your future. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
Joe Rusevans here with FRA Trust to let you know about my new book, The New Normal in a Post-Pandemic Economy. Has your 401k or IRA taken a hit? Then you should take control back. I've been a leading financial professional for almost 40 years, and I'm sharing these secrets in my new book. That's free for you. Just pay shipping and handling. Visit joesnewbook.org to claim and learn how my team at FRA Trust can help you take control of your financial future. Visit joesnewbook.org or call 855-935-4214. Today.
Mom, what do you always say?
There's nothing sadder than jewelry that sits in a drawer.
That's why we are proud to offer jewelry repair on-site at Neustadter's Fine Jewelry. We know that your jewelry is important to you, and we take that part of our job very seriously. Visit us at Doherty Ferry in Big Bend or learn more at wowdiamonds.com.
Kimmel's is back with new outdoor seating and safety protocols, but nothing has changed on their incredible menu with the same recipes treating St. Louis for 93 years. They're still kicking it with nightly music and the best happy hour in STL, Monday through Saturday starting at 3:30 p.m. Easily accessible from anywhere in town with a friendly professional staff and the best owner in the business, Kimmel's Chop House is the perfect stop. Kimmel's, with the new patio, the partitions, and the pasta.
This is Doug Vaughn here to tell you to call my friends Mark and Neil Gelman of Coldwell Banker Premier. Mark and Neil's incredible marketing strategy sells more homes, over $500,000, all with five-star reviews. Find the Gelmans online at 590homes.com and start packing.
Certain restrictions apply.
We all know local restaurants and food producers have been hit hard recently. As one of the few places still open, Schnucks is committed to supporting those local companies that need help from all of us right now. In an effort to support them, Schnucks is bringing in more food from local restaurants and food producers than they normally would. As a local food company themselves, Schnucks knows they can help. That's why Schnucks is asking you to please consider local food when you shop at Schnucks. Schnucks, a local company supporting local companies.
Tim McKernan here for Design Air Heating and Cooling. Their business is essential to your comfort and safety, so Design Air will continue to offer services for emergency repair, installation, and preventative maintenance while taking all of the recommended precautions to eliminate physical contact. For more information on air purifiers, please visit designairservice.com. And for all of your heating and air conditioning needs, contact the official HVAC company of the Ryan Kelly Morning After, Design Air Heating and Cooling.
I like this.
This is Whitesnake, David Coverdale.
He's from the other side of the river.
You know, I didn't actually know that. On the pond. I didn't know that.
David Coverdale?
He's really from England.
He was, and he married Tawny Cotain.
Who was that?
Tawny Cotain? Yeah. She was the one in the Whitesnake videos.
Oh,
the
really?
Girl that danced on the cars and stuff. Yeah.
I always wonder why bands have the name they do. I wonder why it's Whitesnake. I wonder why.
No, think about it.
Because he's a white guy.
Oh, okay. I get it. You know who's supposed to have the biggest one in the music industry?
It's Tommy Lee, isn't it, apparently?
Tommy Lee may be second. Huey Lewis.
Yeah.
Get out of town. Huey Lewis in the news?
Yeah. There's a woman who wrote a book, and she slept with... She says, like, 300 of the biggest names in rock music.
Wow.
And she said, without a doubt, the biggest schlong is Huey Lewis.
Now, I'm going to tell you a true story before we get to Scott. I went to Mizzou, and Mizzou had a really, really good basketball team when I went there, from 87 to 91. They were, at times, they were ranked, like, top five in the country.
Yeah.
And they had 6'10" Doug Smith and 7' Gary Leonard and 6'9" Byron Irvin and all these guys that went to the NBA. And the little point guard they had that never went to the NBA, who was only 6 foot tall, was a guy named Lee Coward. And they had a...
His name was Coward?
His last name was Coward. Oh, Lee Coward. Yeah. And they had
That's
a...
unfortunate.
They had a competition, a locker room competition one day, right along those lines.
Little Lee
and,
won?
And the littlest guy on the team won.
Whoa!
Yeah. Wow.
Lee Knees Coward.
We could do an hour on this.
Absolutely.
We'll just keep moving here. I watched another news story late last night. I don't know what city it was, but it was some official talking about how they're scrambling for PPE, for personal protective equipment. And it's almost like I wanted to yell at the TV, Bertarelli, come to St. Louis, because other cities don't have a Bertarelli. We do. Bertarelli could be a great name for a restaurant. They're on the hill. They might as well just go ahead and open a restaurant. Bertarelli, I'd go there. It's a place most people know for their cutlery, for sharpening knives, selling knives, that kind of thing. But I think in this last 3 or 4 months, they're probably better known for personal protective equipment because they have a warehouse full of it. And I've said this before, there's no excuse, especially if you listen to this station, if you are the person at a school district or a hospital or any sort of medical building, if you're the person responsible for making sure you have enough masks and shields and plexiglass panels and gloves and hand sanitizer and sanitizing wipes, if you're that person, wow, I feel bad that you don't listen to the show, because you're going to have to go to whoever you answer to and tell them, I'm telling you, boss, bear with me, that stuff is supposed to be here day after tomorrow. How about today? How about today by going to Bertarelli and get all that stuff you need? You might say, well, we need quite a few. We need hundreds of... Okay, fine. They have it. They have it. I've been in the warehouse, a big warehouse, a lot of stuff. And I said everything from gloves to the mask to the things you slip over your shoes. Some people have to wear that. Sometimes these service people come to your home, and I like it when at the door they slip these things over their shoes so they don't track up your house and dirty up the carpet. They sell that stuff too. And then the thermal scanner, the temperature thing. I had, where in the world was I where they did that to me? Just yesterday. I can't believe I can't remember this. But I walked up and they don't touch you. They just pointed at your forehead and you're good. Oh, of course. I knew where it was, the hospital, St. Anthony's. I went in, and even though you may have just left and you came back, they had to do it again. Before you walk in to go to a room to visit anybody, they have to. And I thought, boy, I hope you got these at Bertarelli, because lots of hospitals do, lots of schools do, and you should too. So if you're coming up short, you don't have to. You want competitive pricing. They're not price gougers. They could be if they were crooks. It'd be a good time to do that, but they're not interested in that. And they didn't get into it because of COVID-19. That's the other thing I want to make sure you understand. They're not people who don't know anything about PPE, but got into it because they could make a buck. They got into it 5 years ago. I'm not sure why. I'll ask them. Next time we talk, I'll ask them, why did you decide 5 years ago to get into the personal protective equipment business? You're in the knife and blade and that kind of business, scissors. You're in the sharpening business. Why did you do that? But they did 5 years ago, and turns out it was a good move. Good for you, good for them. Everybody wins. Bertarelli. They have a website, bertarellico.com. Can't spell it, don't worry about it. Facebook.com/AM and the PM. That's our show Facebook page. There's a link to their website right there. Or you can go to frankopinion.com. There's a link there as well. And a little video. Get a little tour of the retail store, watch him sharpen some knives, and take a little trip to the PPE warehouse. Bertarelli Cutlery and, let's just make it Bertarelli Cutlery and PPE.
Oh, it's Thursday.
On this side of the law.
Sing it, John.
On that side of the law. Who is right? Who is wrong? Who is for and who's against the law?
We have a name for this segment. I think we decided we'll just call it On This Side of the Law, hosted by Scott Sherman.
I simply couldn't make it.
Oh, people are getting smart. There's only one line open. Let me give you the numbers. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Say hello to Attorney at Law Scott Sherman.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you, guys.
Scott, how are you?
I'm great. I'm happy to be here.
You ready to lose later today to Bill Cleveland's game, whatever it is? You ready to be beaten again?
I'm getting used to that.
Well, we hope you are.
You're beating me like a drum.
Because we were getting used to you winning all the time.
Is this the one where you have to name how many things are in the grocery store?
I hope. I like that game. I don't know yet. You ready to help people?
I'm ready.
Let's do it. Let's start with, according to Dan, this person's name is Shaton, S-H-A-T-O-N. Like,
Shaton?
I was so mad at him, I shat on him.
Oh my God.
S-H-A-T-O-N, Shaton, how are you? Welcome to 590 The Fan. Shaton?
Hello.
Yes, Shaton, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Terrific. That's a very unusual name you have, Shaton.
The R's next to the T.
But it would be funny if it really was her name.
AM and the PM.
Oh, thank you. I'm guessing it's Sharon. Sharon, say hello to Scott Sherman.
It is. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Sharon. How are you?
I'm good. I'm a new listener recommended by my brother Paul.
Well, good for him. Thank him for us. What can we do for you?
I will. Well, this pertains to a transvaginal. Okay, I'm waiting for it.
No, we don't. No, we don't do that juvenile humor here. Transvaginal what?
Mesh settlement that began in December of 2015 with my mom.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it was with a law firm out of Houston, Texas. And I have pulled up an article from June 2019 where this law firm, along with five other, have been sued for malpractice for not going through with these claims. My mom went through the past several years of submitting medical records, numerous documents, even my dad's death certificate. And the last correspondence we received was July 20th, 2017.
Whoa.
From the president of that company, naming that they settled her claim. And we've since never heard from them. I've called on a weekly basis, leaving messages, no one was ever there to talk to, no one ever returned our call, it went on and on. But they do send a Christmas card every year, past December.
That's nice of them. What do you, Scott, I'm going to bet that you're going to say, this is not unusual and you've heard of this before.
This is not unusual, and I have heard of this before, but not with this particular firm in Texas or the transvaginal mesh.
By the way, Sharon, you're our first transvaginal mesh caller, so congratulations. We've not had that particular subject come up yet.
No. We would have remembered that.
Yeah, what does she do here?
This transforms from transvaginal mesh into legal malpractice. In the state of Missouri, and I'm going to ask Sharon, was your mom or is your mom a resident of the state of Missouri?
She is.
Okay, it's 5 years, longest in the country. Texas, I just looked it up while you were talking, it's 2 years, like most states. So even if you first found out about it in 2019 that they were getting sued for malpractice because they lied and said they settled the case when they didn't settle the case, you would still have time. And because your mom is a Missouri resident, even if it was 2017 when you should have known, when you got a letter from the head of the law firm down in Texas, and they try to play the it's too late game because 2 years has passed, you would have time. This now becomes a legal malpractice case against this firm, and going forward on that, I would say it's time right now to talk to a law firm that does such things to see if there's enough insurance to get after
that Texas firm.
Let me ask you a question. Why would you say we settled the case if either, A, you didn't settle the case, or you did, but you have no intention of paying people? Why would you tell them you settled it? I don't understand.
Other than being a criminal, you might think, I mean, it's insane, because now people have an expectation.
Right.
You would think they would say, you lost the case.
Or we're still working on
it. Or, yes. I can't explain that kind of insanity. Okay. What I would say is that this goes for every kind of case where there's any kind of injury, no matter how egregious or terrible it is, with the exception probably of stuff that involves kids where the statute of limitations is told until they're an adult and may go on forever. You got to get on these things, because things, even if they're egregious, will expire after a certain amount of time. The fortunate thing, Sharon, for your mom is Missouri has a 5-year statute, and because she's a Missouri resident, I think they would extend that to 5 years. The other is, if she's interested in pursuing this, I think that this would be a pretty easy case to win if there are funds available. And most of these law firms that do mass torts, and that's what the Roundup stuff, you know, I advertise for that stuff, and the talcum powder stuff, and the Zantac, and the transvaginal mesh, and all of these mass torts, if you're going to get into that game, you better have a lot of malpractice insurance, because the stakes are very high to make sure it's done right. So, Sharon, if you or your mom or anybody is interested in going after this incompetent and perhaps fraudulent law firm down in Houston, contact the lawyer if you know it. If you don't have anybody, send it to me. I'll have my people look at it. But that's exactly what she needs to do. It has switched now. If it's not too late, might be too late, might not be too late against the transvaginal mesh manufacturers to get after this law firm that screwed this up and then lied about it on top of that. It's crazy.
Do you have an attorney?
Scott Sherman.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Say that again.
Law Office of Scott Sherman at gmail.com.
And that coming from a new listener. She already knows the email address. That's right. You shoot Scott an email. So was your brother, you said his name was Paul, who told you you should listen?
Yep.
Is that right? Well, that's the best advice he probably ever gave you.
And last week I listened to that man go on and on about not paying his taxes all those years.
Yep, that was pretty interesting.
We put him to sleep.
Yeah. Well, Sharon, we're glad you're with us. Your life will be better for having found this show, I believe.
I feel so, too.
Well, thank you, and welcome aboard. And shoot Scott an email.
I will. Thank you so much.
All right, Sharon. Thank you. I like her.
Yeah.
Now, we have two lines open, and we shouldn't ever have two lines open. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Let's go to Jim. Jim, you have waited a long time. Now it pays off. Thank you. Welcome to 590. The fans say hello to Scott Sherman. Jim? Oh, Jim. Jim? Jim, maybe Jim put the phone down, made a sandwich. And he's running back to the phone because he's been waiting for like 27 minutes.
Well, this one isn't on me.
Oh, Jim.
Hello?
Jim? What happened?
Oh, there you go.
Jim,
hey, there you are, buddy.
Where'd you go, Jim? We were just about to give up on you.
Someplace in Illinois really cut out with my phone service. So
okay, well,
that's what happened.
Thank goodness we recaptured it. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott Sherman.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
I'm AM and the PM.
That's a good way to do it, perfect.
So I'm not going to go on the normal shtick about what's it called? I forgot the word now.
Transvaginal mesh?
No, not that, yeah. I wasn't going to talk about that either. disclaimers. I got two specific ones, though, that drive me nuts. So, I understand, if you're allergic to this medicine, don't take this medicine. Although it's ridiculous, I understand that. But here's a couple that I... for the life of me, I can't. One is, and I'm going to say it really fast, and I'll explain it. Some restrictions may apply. Does that mean, if you didn't say that, something would have no restrictions then? Or what's that disclaimer about?
Go ahead.
These disclaimer attempts are usually ridiculous because they don't disclaim anything. I mean, it's so vague. It means nothing.
Jim,
at the end of a Coldwell, at the end of a Coldwell Banker commercial, it says some restrictions may apply. It's
right.
It is so vague and so general, yet it covers them for anything. They can throw they can throw anything at you and then say, well, sorry, but that was one of the some restrictions we talked about.
Here's another one. Choice of a lawyer is important. Don't make it based on commercials. So if somebody loses a case, they can say, I thought you guys said you were good. Or I mean, what's the deal with that?
I can absolutely explain this one. I hate this one, please. But I do it. Tim does it for me, and I have to, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
The Missouri Bar and just about every bar association mandates that that set of language on advertising has to accompany printed material or television and radio has to be said, or it's an ethics violation. I agree with you. It is the most ridiculous thing in the world. There's in the Missouri ethics rules, there's a chapter in a section that I can even – tell you what it is, if I could remember what it is, that like 1.115 or something, that you have to say it, and you have to say it just like that. I hate it, and the amount of ridiculousness that the Missouri Bar allows, in particular this, if anyone has ever gotten something sent to their house, if you get a traffic ticket or you got hurt somehow, they have this list that they allow lawyers to mail things directly to people's houses that they do not know. That is the absolute definition of solicitation. It should be not allowed, should not be allowed. But yet, not only do they allow it, they call it advertising. It's insane the amount of hypocrisy that goes on in the Bar Association ethic.
Okay, I am so, Jim, you're the first person that ever brought up the choice of a lawyer is an important one. It shouldn't be based. And I'm so glad you did, because if you just stop, just listen to that statement. The choice of a lawyer is an important one. Okay, well, that's ridiculous to even have to say that. Of course it is. And then shouldn't be based solely on advertising.
On commercials, right.
Yeah, what does that even mean? What should it be based on? Of course it shouldn't be based solely on that. But what if it is? What if that's the only law firm they ever heard of?
Exactly.
So what?
It's absolutely stupid, and here is the rule. It's Missouri Supreme Court Rule 4-7.2, and they absolutely put in Section C, let's see, where's the disclaimer?
I was going to say 4.7 something.
Oh, here. Yeah. It's Section F of 4-7.2. 4-7.2F. The absolute quote comes from the Missouri Bar and the Missouri Supreme Court rules, and I agree with both of you. I will not defend it. It is the most meaningless, dumbest, non-advice that you could get from a guy picking cans out of the trash can.
Can I ask one more
question? The best disclaimer, though, was the one that said, if you have an erection that lasts more than 4 hours, please consult a physician.
Yeah.
Mine does naturally, though.
Oh, sure it does. Yeah, sure it does, Jim. Right.
Can I ask one more quick one?
Absolutely.
Are you only covering Zantac? Are you not handling ranitidine not being Zantac?
I'm handling the Zantac cases and the Roundup cases and the anything that's mass tort. I'll take a look.
Well, what I'm saying is most Zantac lawyers are also handling the generic ranitidine. So I was wondering if you were not handling that.
If there's a connection on the generic, we'll look at that too. So absolutely yes. But the choice of a lawyer is such an important decision. And Tim only has so much time that.
Well, there's only one lawyer I'd ever go to, and I'm talking to him right now.
So. Oh my goodness.
Well, I hope it's not that choice wasn't made solely on listening to him on Thursday.
Did you know Scott?
Wait a minute, solely on advertising. This isn't advertising. This is education.
That's true.
Did you know Scott was handling those cases because you listened to this show?
Of course.
Okay, I was just curious.
Yeah, well, that's I'm almost embarrassed that I have to put the disclaimer on, but that is the you nailed it, Jim. That is a bunch of
Johnny Landolf's embarrassed about fine new roads, and he should be, but it's not, he didn't.
Well, those auto disclaimers are the worst.
Chevy,
did you ever the voice one?
Oh my goodness,
you can't understand.
See the USA and your Chevrolet. It was great 60 years ago. It's great today.
Sure it is.
What's wrong with
that? Not the slogan. I'm talking about the disclaimers and the auto commercials. Yeah.
Well, oh, okay. Hey Jim, thank you for the call. We appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
All right, all the lines are open. They shouldn't be. We're going to have a little discussion, but first I'm going to give you the numbers again. Folks, it's wide open. It's yours. 314-821-0590-855-282-8255. Here's what's so ridiculous about the auto disclaimers or any car commercial where at the bottom they say you can be put in a brand new fill in the blank for just $439 a month. And then there's this massive paragraph that's not up there long enough to read in a type size you can't read. And if you do, I have actually paused and frozen and read it.
Me too.
It's unbelievable. What it's basically saying is, please ignore that $439 a month thing we have up here because you're never going to get that deal. That's sort of what it says.
And, wow. And on pharmaceutical ads, the reason people are dancing in a field and running around the beach is because they're not really listening to the person doing the voiceover telling you all of the side effects that you can have because they don't want you to really know about that. And then with stuff that isn't approved by the FDA, if you ever look at it, like the stuff that they rub on the people that have bags under their eyes, it's some kind of shale rock or something, it'll say at the bottom of it, this product not reviewed by the FDA, which means you shouldn't take it because it's just garbage. And it is all over late night or even daytime TV. The fun thing about having HD TV is one of the things you do. If I'm by myself, I will pause that. And I will read the disclaimers. That's how crazy I've become.
Can I ask Scott a question?
Yeah, sure.
Scott, I have a client that contacted my PI firm and asked me some questions I didn't know the answers to. As an attorney, would you recommend somebody who has had a child taken from them by DFS contact a family attorney specialist, or do all attorneys handle matters like that?
I would say that the more on a domestic case it involves things like child custody, I would have a specialist do that.
So there are attorneys that's all they handle is family court stuff?
Well, not only do they have a family court, you've got people that only handle custody and adoptions, and then you'll have people that handle mainly divorces and child custody is part of it. But if it's really about the child's welfare, I would not only seek out only family law lawyers, but ones that specialize in child custody cases, because the garden variety family law lawyer doesn't even really know exactly how to undo something that DFS does. They're more interested in people coming in and just want to get a divorce and figure out some arrangement.
Well,
a whole different thing.
So this client had her child taken from her, and 8 month old, she passed out in a Starbucks, and the child. They thought maybe it was a drug induced situation. The child had a dirty diaper, so that they seized the child because of that. Even though the kid was checked out at the hospital, she was checked out at the hospital. Everything was fine. She wasn't high. She wasn't anything else. But DFS still a week later came and took the kid.
Yep.
So my question is, does a person like that have a guaranteed right to representation? Because it's not a criminal charge. Do they have a guaranteed right to a public defender or somebody to represent them on
that? No, that's civil, believe it or not. And you can't get, because it's not a criminal charge, you can't get. Well,
it's terrible.
There are criminal charges that don't come with potential jail time. For instance, traffic tickets. You get a highway patrol registered ticket, that's the state. But unless you are facing jail time over the charge, you do not have the right under the Sixth Amendment to an attorney paid for by the state.
Wow.
And so there are a lot of cases where people have to buy their own lawyer, can't afford it, and something like this is a fight that they have to pay out of their own pocket. It's unfortunate, and I could tell you some stories, but I can say this. Specialist, subspecialist.
Yep.
That's what you want to do when the kids are involved. And there are people that do it for reasonable prices, but I wouldn't do it. Yeah. I hate family law, and people losing their kids or stuff about kids breaks my heart, so I'm not going to either, you know, sort of play around or tinker with that or get involved with it.
Once a kid is in the system, though, it is really, really tough to get the kid out of the system.
Well, send me a recommendation. I want to pass it along to this person. So
314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Before we go back to the phones, real quickly, let me give you my best example of how misleading a car commercial was. I'm a car person. It's like a disease. I love cars. I saw a Bentley TV commercial. I was out of town, and it came on, and it said they would put you in a brand new Bentley Continental. Let me just, this is a $280,000 car. And the payment was $1,100 a month. I'm going to tell you something. That is a ridiculously low payment for a car like that. So I froze the picture and I read, and here's what it said at the bottom. $20,000 deposit, okay, and mileage limited to 2,000 miles a year.
Wow.
Now, here's the reason that actually appeals to some people. There are people who, to be seen in a BMW or certainly a Bentley, would take that deal and only drive it to the country club or where they wanted to impress people,
yeah,
knowing they can only drive 2,000 miles a year. 2,000 miles a year is not going to take you many places, but it'll get you to the places where you need to impress people.
Yep.
But that's exactly the kind of ad that we're talking about. That's not a payment that you can make and ever really own that car and go very many places in it. And the $20,000 check up front, too. Let's not forget about that. So let's go to a Jer. Jer, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hi to Scott Sherman.
I definitely want to say hi to Scott Sherman. He's the best.
All right.
Before I ask him a question, Frank, I want to say that I am proud to say that I am in the crowd of AMPM.
Certainly something to be proud of. What do you have for Scott?
Well, here's the situation, and I'm sure I am not the only person that's in this boat. And I was going to talk to Scott about this personally, but I thought maybe it might be worthwhile for somebody else to hear the situation. I worked for a large corporation over 9 years.
Okay.
And then I was forced to leave reluctantly, and the company was bought out a number of times, and when I was forced to leave, I asked if there was any chance that I would get my pension because I had worked a little over 9 years, and I was told no.
What do you mean forced? What does forced to leave mean?
Well, the company they closed up shop here in St. Louis.
So out of business. Out of business in St. Louis. Well, forced to leave because the job wasn't there anymore.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
I mean, I could have gone somewhere else, but the choices were not desirable.
Okay. So
go ahead. So the situation is that I was talking to somebody recently, and I was told that the law says if you have 9 years and 1,000 hours, you would qualify for the pension. So I pulled up my W-2s and I looked up and I have more than 1,000 hours, but it was an overtime over a period of time. Would that qualify me for my pension?
I don't understand.
There's a lawyerly answer. Maybe. I've mentioned the term ERISA before. It's an acronym, E-R-I-S-A. 1974, Congress redid how pension plans were regulated because before that, the mob basically took the Teamsters' pension and bought casinos in Las Vegas. So Congress had more regulation over pension plans, health insurance pension plans, but also flat-out retirement pension plans. So the question then becomes, what is that law say, and what does JARE's contract, because pensions are contracts, there are agreements between an employer and their employees on retirement benefits. The answer is, I don't know, until I look at the pension plan. So if JARE, if you have a copy of the plan and you can get it to me, I can have somebody look that over and hold that up against what Congress did with the ERISA laws in 74 and see if indeed you qualify either by the terms of the contract or by some regulation or some law that Congress put into this big giant encyclopedia-sized law known as ERISA. And I'm happy to look at it, happy to have an ERISA expert look at it, and we'll see. Maybe so, and maybe not. But having the copy of that plan is really important.
Okay. Unfortunately, I don't have a copy of that plan.
You should be able to get it from the employer because they have their human resources. Even though you don't work there, their job is to keep those things under lock and key for when people retire and they want their benefits.
What if they tell him, sorry, we don't have it? Actually, they do. I mean,
somebody had, that's one of the, I mean, this thing is as big as, it's 10 phone books. There has to be a regulation that requires employers who have employees with pension plans to keep copies of those plans on file. It has to be. Otherwise, they'd shred them after you sign them and hope you lost it and tell you, too bad, so sad. So if you can contact them or contact me, and maybe we can track it down together, and we'll take a look at it for you and see if indeed you actually are vested, which is the term, in your used-to-be employer's pension plan.
Okay. The fly in the ointment, Scott, is the fact that the corporation's been bought out numerous times.
It's all part of the same thing when they take these things over. They have to maintain the documents. They can't just throw them away.
All right. Well, Scott, you're a good soul. I don't care what Frank says about you. You're A-OK.
Okay. Thank you, Jer.
And I thank you for providing us outstanding service.
All right. Thank you, Jer.
Okay, I hope everybody has a great day and stay safe.
Well, we are. We're already having a great day. Thank you. Let's go to Jeremy. Jeremy, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott Sherman.
Hi, Jeremy. How are you?
I am AM in the PM.
A lot of people are.
So that means I'm doing good.
Yeah.
I had a question with your knowledge on shared well agreements.
Holy mackerel. Mineral rights and water rights?
Yeah, I'll tell you my situation. I've been living in a home for about 6 years, renting it from a friend of mine next door that I grew up with, and he bought the house, remodeled it, and I moved in and been renting it from him, and now I'm in the process of buying it. And we're out in rural areas, and the old well wasn't any good, so he ran a water line from his home to my home. And I'm getting ready to buy it, and he has a contract wrote up, which I haven't seen yet, about a shared well agreement. So my question kind of is, everything's fine right now if I purchase from him, because he still lives next door. And that's on the up and up. But my question is, his home is for sale. If the new homeowner comes in, how can this affect me?
Yeah, I think that's a great question.
It is a great. We had something almost like this about a month ago.
Yep.
The law in Missouri.
Yes.
The law in Missouri, Illinois is very similar. Most Midwestern states are similar in the term of riparian rights. Write that one down. People don't like it when you hoard water. It tends to be something that people need to survive. And so you can't drill a well to get water for yourself is something that courts don't like. But the easiest way around that are things like you mentioned, well rights. What you guys can do is to, before he sells it, draft up a document that says that those water rights or your well drilling rights are in perpetuity, and those would then run with the land.
This is something that the owner now would have to do.
That's right, before he sells it. That way, if your friend sells it or he gives it away or something, that agreement, like kind of like an easement, would run with his land so that a subsequent owner or purchaser could not prevent you, Jeremy, from keeping your right, your riparian right, to get water, even though the water table is technically not underneath your ground.
Why would a new owner object to that? Because the new owner of that home is not going to be without water just because there's an offshoot to Jeremy's house. Why would they balk at that? And why would that hinder the sale?
This is a legal answer based on my 20-something years of experience. Because, Frank, people can be jerks.
Yeah.
And just to be a jerk, or maybe to extort some money out of Jeremy, or just to be nasty, that they would try to do something like that.
Let's say I'm thinking about buying this guy's house, and I'm trying to decide, would that keep me from... What I'm actually trying to do is find out if there would be a reason Jeremy's friend might not want to do that, because he might think it would hinder the sale of the house. I'm serious. But
it could, but it's just like if Jeremy was landlocked behind his, say he had a piece of property behind his friend's property, and there's a driveway that goes through his friend's property and back to Jeremy's, and then somebody would say, well, I don't want Jeremy going back and forth through here. It's the only way that this guy can get to his house. So these types of easements or these types of rights are favored. The favoritism is to have people get along, but then you've got riparian rights, which is the rule here, where you want people to be able to get water, and it would be an expensive legal battle that Jeremy would win. So if you do nothing, I still think you would get these rights. But if you get an agreement drafted, it might cost you a couple hundred bucks to make sure it's in perpetuity. Would he do it?
He says he has a draft made up.
Cool. I would get a lawyer of your own that's a real estate lawyer. Just like we were talking about the custody lawyers, this is another specialty thing. Where you don't need Matlock, who just kind of, you know, he does criminal law.
Here's the other thing. Wouldn't it be a good idea to do this anyway? Because let's say Jeremy's friend dies.
Yeah, that's right.
And now it's Jeremy's friend's wife's house. She didn't give a crap about Jeremy, and she's not going to do that.
That is absolutely right. And it's another...
Turn the water off supply to my house.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, all of this...
I'm worried about somebody in the future.
True.
I'm off driving by, excuse my language, but...
That's why all of these easements or all of these rights should be running with the land, meaning that no matter who owns it in the future, it continues to follow the land and isn't dependent on who the current owner or owners are. So while he has the ability to make this agreement, one, get him to do it, but two, have a lawyer of your own review it to make sure it does exactly what you want it to do, which is to give you the right to the water table and run with the land beyond your Jeremy's ownership or his life.
I have another quick question for Jeremy. Let's say that Jeremy, why wouldn't you want to drill your own well?
Because it costs like $10,000 or $12,000.
It does. That's exactly what it costs. Now, I don't know the price of this house, but to me, to ensure that a future buyer of your house. I think you open up more possibilities for buyers if you have your own well.
Correct.
I'm thinking of somebody balking at the fact, ooh, wait a minute, I'm going to buy Jeremy's house, but what? You share that guy's water? I'm just thinking of everybody
that could be involved here.
It's 10 or 12 grand, but I would certainly think it would add to the value of your house that you don't have to share somebody's water.
Well, it will.
No question.
We're negotiating the price right now. And that's kind of on the back burner with the well part of it so far, what I'm going through with the buying process. Yeah. But it's also if he sells his house, which is for sale,
the
future buyer.
Like Scott said, don't wait for the sale. Get your buddy. If he's really your buddy, been friends for a long time, get him to go ahead and write it up now that no matter what, no matter when, you got rights to that well.
And I have one more for Jeremy. Jeremy, do you own the property? Are you negotiating to buy it from your friend?
Well, I'm...
He's renting.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm renting it.
When you have your sales agreement, first I'd have this drill rights agreement. That's basically free. See if you can get a price sort of stipend. If you can get him to cut the price for the value of what it would be to drill the well, and that's definitely a long-term fix, along with Frank saying. But for now, in case your negotiations break down, get that drill rights, that water rights agreement in place, so that you have that as a backup.
If I get a good new neighbor, if he does sell his house, and I get a good new neighbor, nobody's paying the $10,000, and I know why my friend.
You never need a written agreement for a great neighbor. Assume they're always going to be horrible eventually. Mine are horrible. I'm going to tell you. I go right through down the block. Yeah. There's one family I like. The rest of them are terrible.
Jeremy, people. In case you need it, do you know Scott's email address?
I do. LawOfficeOfScottSherman@gmail.com.
Well, they're catching on. Thank you. Good luck, Jeremy. I hope you get your house.
All right. Thank you, guys.
You bet.
Have a great day.
You too. Let's go to Brian. Brian, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
How are you doing, Scott?
Hey, great, Brian. How are you?
Good. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and he was asking me a question, and it was just something I didn't know what to tell him. He had a brother that was never married, never had any kids, and he passed away. Well, he said that his brother worked at, I think, a grocery store or somewhere with a union, and he had a 401k all these years. And he asked me, he goes, what happens to that? I said, you know, I don't know.
That's a great question.
It's a 401k is an agreement, like a lot of agreements, like Jared was talking about his pension. If there's no provision or designated beneficiary in the 401k, who gets it if you die? It's like an insurance policy. It can be anyone. If there's no designation, I think the money goes to the state. Now, they don't get to keep it, but it goes into that basket where it's that unclaimed property. And some other relative that's a surviving relative, there's no surviving spouse, there's no surviving kids, but parents and brothers and sisters, nieces and nephews eventually, I think they would be able to make a claim based on their consanguinity.
Now, we haven't asked the most important question. Did this guy have a will?
No, he had no will.
Very good.
That's
so
a problem.
If consanguinity, the blood relationship.
I was going to say consanguinity.
This is another one of our terms. We're learning just about everything. Then they could make a claim with the state for the 401k money that did not pass, but I would check in with the employer and see if you can get a copy of the 401k and see if there was some beneficiary. Could be his mom, could be you, could be some girlfriend that he had in high school. If he did not have a beneficiary designated, then I think then contact the Department of the Secretary of the Missouri Treasurer's Office, and it might be there. But get a copy from the employer of this person's 401k.
If I have a will,
would you get?
Go ahead, Brian.
I was gonna say, would he get it from the employer, or would he get it from like the union? What do you call the union?
Well, I'd start with them. They might have a file there, but this is technically something that's done through the employer. But okay. If he's in the union, I guess I don't know which union that is. The Teamsters or something. Either. I would contact the local union and see if they got a copy of it, see what it says.
If I have a 401k and I have a will, and my will essentially says all my assets go to Scott Sherman, is that not just automatically considered an asset and it goes, or do you have to specifically in that 401k designate?
It's a lot like a life insurance policy. Okay. There's no presumption that 401k beneficiary is going to be just poured into the will to be distributed based on the will. So there are pour over or pour into designations, but that's part of the non-probate transfers that to prevent probate, things like bank accounts, car notes, real estate, and bank accounts. All of that stuff, including a 401k and insurance, can be done by designating beneficiaries rather than waiting for this consanguinity or for the terms of the will.
All right. Brian, if you need it, do you have Scott's email address?
I hear it every time, and I couldn't tell it to you.
No, that's called called dementia.
Law offices.
No, not plural. Not plural offices. Try it again.
Law office. Law office.
Of?
I'm Scott Sherman.
Of Scott Sherman at gmail.com.
Job, Brian.
We got that. Little struggle, but he got it. Thank you, Brian. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. And how's that for timing?
Perfect.
We are 14 seconds away from 5 o'clock. Absolutely perfect. Scott, you've done it again, and I say let's do it again next Thursday.
You bet. Right. I'll be here.
Scott Sherman, everybody.
Thank you, Frank. Hernia Thank
Law,
you, guys.
Helping people at no cost to you. No cost for the phone call. If you didn't get through, we'll do it again Thursday. The Playhouse is on the way. I would imagine we're going to play a game, and I'm hoping Scott's not going to win today, and I know that sounds mean. Oh, by the way, you are in my will, Scott. Everything I have is going to you. That wasn't just a hypothetical thing. I'm kidding. It's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
590 The Fan, with your local talent covering your St. Louis teams. KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. White House spokeswoman Kayleigh McEnany says the White House is again insisting that schools start reopening.
The president is very keen on seeing schools reopen. It's the only thing that's fair to America's children.
She told reporters that the science is on our side here. The coronavirus is surging again in many parts of the U.S. In earlier comments, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said schools cannot reopen without a solid plan to ensure the health and safety of students and children. TSA agents may be checking the temperature of airline passengers. A new bill in